in, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 560, the coronavirus stay-at-home quarantine edition. We've been off the air for the past 4 weeks, but we're back this week. My name is Lisa Sheps, and I will be your host for today. You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live at koop.org. Don't go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
A mechanical fin, my fishiness has taken a dive. Inner circuits running hotter, I can breathe outside of water, I'm a monster. And I've never felt more alive. I'm back and stronger.
It is Wednesday, April 15th, 2020. Today's show is going to be a melange of different things. We're going to play for some full cuts of things, and we're going to talk about the state of theater in Austin, as well as the state of the theater elsewhere. And hopefully we'll have some surprises, but maybe not. So stick with us. We're going to listen to this entire song. This is called I'm Back from Dog Man the Musical. We'll see you at the end of this song. We're back, just like the song said. Hi, everybody. We've been gone for 4 weeks. And indeed, we are still gone. I am still hunkered in. I am still self-containing myself in my house. I am currently in my homemade studio, which is in my walk-in closet. So there you go. So like many other folks, I'm still, well, like all of us, I hope, but we're still under quarantine, still in the house. We are now promoting these things and producing these things remotely to hopefully get on the air. So here we go. This is my first week. Hopefully we will continue doing it until we can get back in the studio, back on the air, back the way we normally do it. It is Sunday, Easter Sunday, when I'm recording this, so it's not the most topical. But then again, there's not a, well, I'd like to say there's not a whole bunch happening, but actually there's a whole bunch happening in the theater world, but not a whole bunch happening on stages around the world and certainly around the country. So before we talk about what's going on, I wanted to let you know that that was a song from a show called Dog Man the Musical, which was done off-Broadway last year. It's a children's show. And I'm just going to read from the TheaterWorks USA, who's one of the producers, about what it is. It says, Dog Man the Musical is a hilarious new production based on the worldwide best-selling series from Dav Pilkey, the creator of Captain Underpants. Buds, George and Harold have been creating comics for years, but now that they're in fifth grade, they figure it's time to level up and write a musical based on their favorite character, Dogman, the crime-biting sensation who is part dog, part man, and all hero. How hard could it be? So that's what that was from. But basically, that was just a song to tell you that I am back. And here we are. We are back. Unfortunately, Nicole is not with us this week. Perhaps we will get her here next week, and we'll get the gang back together. So on the show today, we're just going to sort of update everybody on what's going on in the theater world locally and around the country. And it's pretty obvious that what's going on around the theater world is that we're all closed. Broadway is closed until probably, they're saying June. I'm going to guess it's the end of June. We don't know when Austin's going to reopen, but we're all hoping it won't be too terribly long. But that's something to just keep in mind. But there's been several things that have happened that have been really, really great in a lot of ways. First of all, a lot of theaters, a lot of theater companies, a lot of actors are taking the opportunity to have online things. That's a technical term, a theater term I wouldn't expect for you to understand, but they've been having online things. So there's a lot of online offerings. I know we're doing it here locally, and we're going to talk about that in a bit. But let's start out by talking about what's going on nationally. And I want to start by talking about what happened last night. There was a thing called the Saturday Night Seder that was on, and it had so many different stars, theater stars, that were involved in it. And it is available. You can click a link to see the whole thing on our website, offstageonair.com, or you can see it on SaturdayNightSeder.com. And I'm trying to look to see the names of the people. So this was produced by Eric Bergen, Talia Halperin, Adam Cantor, and Benj Pasek. And it was starring, you ready? Pamela Adlon, Jason Alexander, Reza Aslan, Skylar Astin, Shoshana Bean, Rabbi Dana Benson, Mayim Baliak, Rachel Brosnahan, Rabbi Sharon Broas, Darcy Carden, Andy Cohen, Darren Chris, Fran Dreschler, Billy Eichner, Cynthia Erivo, Liz Feldman, Beanie Feldstein, Harvey Firestein, Tan France, Elliot Glazer, Ilana Glazer, Josh Groban, Judy Gold, Whoopi Goldberg, Sarah Hurwitz, Adam Cantor, Richard Kind, Julie Klausner, Nick Kroll, Rabbi Amici Lau Lavi, Dan Levy, Judith Light, Cameron Mannheim, Milo Mannheim, Alan Menken, Idina Menzel, Deborah Messing, Bette Midler, Isaac Mizrahi, Busy Phillips, Kendall Pinckney, Ben Platt, Billy Porter, Seth Rudetsky, Senator Chuck Schumer, Stephen Schwartz, Leah Silverman, Sarah Silverman, Michael Solomonov, oh my God, Shana Taub, Nina West, Henry Winkler, Finn Wolfhard, Jimmy Wolk, Rabbi David Wolpe, and Michael Ziegen. What an incredible cast of characters. And all these people were working from home. It's really worth seeing. And it was really nice to see a lot of the theater people really sort of coming in and celebrating a Jewish holiday, which is actually a rather important holiday in the Jewish tradition. And it was really good to sort of put it on a stage that everybody could see. Saturday Night Seder was a fundraiser for the CDC Foundation's COVID-19 Emergency Response Fund. And as of last night, they raised $430,000 for COVID relief. So I think that was a really wonderful thing. Now I want to showcase one piece from Saturday Night Seder. It was actually the finale. And Harvey Firestein did a pretty long speech around next year in Jerusalem, which is a saying Jews say, and it's specifically apropos for Passover because it's about getting back together to Jerusalem historically. But he went on to say that it's not really about getting back to Jerusalem. It's about getting back to family. It's getting back to what means the most to us. So this is actually the final piece. It's a song. I'm assuming it's an original song, but I could be wrong. It's with Shana Taub and Skylar Astin and a whole bunch of other people that were involved in this. So let's give a listen.
Next year in Jerusalem. Now serve the sponge cake.
When the people are pleading, scar. And when there's nobody leading you out of the dark, can't let the misery harden your heart. The worst will pass over, and one day the waters will part. 'Cause next year, the world will break open. Next year, we'll breathe in the sky. Though tomorrow's uncertain, we're gonna get by till it's here. So here's to next year.
Next year.
Here's to next year. Oh, yeah. All right.
Here's to next year. Next year. Next year.
Next year, hugging and kissing every single person I've ever loved in my entire life.
Next year, everywhere in the world.
Next year, in Jerusalem, all of us in good health.
Next year, we will be on vacation.
To what?
To Hawaii.
With friends.
With friends.
And family.
And family, sure.
Why are you copying me?
Next year, in a more fair country.
Next year, with our families and chosen families.
Next year, we will be doing our business. We will be doing our business. If we are successful, we will be doing our business with our family in Mumbai.
Next year, in a real democracy.
Next year in a theater with all of you.
I'm going to say next year at my boyfriend's house. I'm looking for a man, a nice man.
Next year, performing for everyone in the same room.
Next year.
With her grandparents.
Next year, holding hands.
Next year, I want to be surrounded by even more of my Jewish brothers and sisters.
Next year, with hugs and kisses with family.
Next year, in my mom's kitchen in Long Island.
Next year, by Lake Michigan in Chicago with my family.
Next year, mask-free, drinking gin and tonics.
Next year, in health, at peace, with family at home.
Oh!
Oceans and deserts we've already crossed.
Good night, everybody. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay inside. Next year in Jerusalem. God bless.
That was wonderful. In the number itself, before Jason Alexander came in, who's a friend of the show, we heard a whole bunch of people saying next year, and those people were medical workers. And it was really sort of, I'm sort of choking up right now, but really worthwhile to see. And it ended with Jason Alexander saying next year in Jerusalem. So that was pretty incredible right there. So, of course, we had a lot of offerings from a lot of people, but one of the more popular things that is happening right now with actors and performers working on online services is John Krasinski. He's got a web series called Good News, and he surprised one little girl who really, really, really wanted to see Hamilton. She was scheduled to see it, and this whole thing happened. And on his show, the entire original cast of Hamilton came on to give her a Zoom concert of the opening, and here it is.
I think we can top that right now, though.
Oh, wait, sorry.
There are a bunch of people just joining.
That's my favorite song from Hamilton.
How does a bastard, orphan, son of a whore and a Scotsman, dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean by Providence, impoverished in squalor, grow up to be a hero and a scholar?
A $10 founded father without a father got a lot farther by working a lot harder by being a lot smarter by being the self-starter by 14. They placed him in charge of a trading charter.
And every day while slaves were being slaughtered and carted away across the waves, he struggled and kept his guard up. Inside, he was longing for something to be a part of. The brother was ready to beg, steal, borrow, or barter.
Then a hurricane came and devastation rained. Our man saw his future drip, dripping down the drain. Put a pencil to his temple, connected it to his brain, and he wrote his first refrain, a testament to his pain.
The word got around, they said this kid is insane. Man took up a collection just to send him to the mainland. Get your education, don't forget from whence you came, and the world's gonna know your name. What's your name, man?
Alexander Hamilton. My name is Alexander Hamilton, and there's a million things I haven't done. But just you wait, just you wait.
When he was 10, his father split, full of it, debt-ridden. 2 years later, see Alex and his mother bedridden, half dead, sitting in their own sick, the scent thick.
And Alex got better, but his mother went quick.
Moved in with the cousin committed suicide. Left him with nothing but ruined pride. Something new inside a voice saying,
Alex, you gotta fend for yourself.
Started retreating and reading every treatise on the shelf.
There would have been nothing left to do for someone less astute. He would have been dead and destitute without a cent of restitution. Started working, clerking for his late mother's landlord. Trading sugar cane and rum and all the things he can't afford. Standing for could get his hands on, waiting for the future, see him now as he stands on the bow of the ship, heading for a new land. In New York, you can be a new man.
In New York, you can be a new man. In New York, you can be a new man. In New York, you can be a new man.
In New York, New York,
just you were.
Alexander Hamilton, Alexander Hamilton, we are waiting in the wings for you.
Waiting in the wings,
you can never back down. You never learn to take your
with him.
Me, I died for him.
Me, I trusted him.
Me, I loved him.
And me, I'm the damn fool that shot him.
There's a million things I haven't done, but just you wait.
What's your name, man?
Alexander Hamilton.
That is really incredible. I really, really loved it. That's the entire original cast, although I must say that Leslie Odom Jr. doesn't look to me like Leslie Odom Jr. So if somebody wants to see it and correct me and say, yes, that's him, or no, that was somebody else, I'm happy to hear the correction. You can find a link to that on our site, offstageonair.com, and you can see it for yourself. But that was an incredible thing. The last little bit of Hamiltonian news I want to talk about is, well, you'd have to be living under some kind of big old rock if you weren't aware of the phenomenon that is Zoom. We're all using it right now, and I just want to go on record as saying that I was using Zoom long before anybody else was using Zoom. Well, there were several of us using Zoom, but I'm an early Zoom adopter. I have a lot of Zoomitude. I'm filled with Zoomosity. I have Zoomism coursing through my veins. But anyway, so we're now learning that Zoom is good for a lot of different things. I know that my theater, Ground Floor Theater, is doing Zoom readings that are broadcast on YouTube. So these are some of the things that are happening. But as part of last weekend's Saturday Night on Broadway, which was created by Kurt Crowley and Ian Weinberger, it featured vocals and camera work by Nick Walker and Michael Loyu, that talked about the being in the Zoom where it happens. And give this a listen.
Ah, Michael Lawoye.
Nick, my bro. Yo.
Did you hear the news about the worldwide pandemic?
No.
You know, Claremont Street.
Yeah.
We can't go there anymore. Seriously, morale is low.
Oh.
And all we have to do is wait.
That's a lot less work.
But look, it's gonna be great.
Why?
I know all this alone time makes you get in your head. But listen, we can say hello online instead.
Really?
Do less. Wait more.
Uh-huh.
Do whatever it takes to stay inside of your building's door.
Yeah, well, all of this technology's confusing.
Well, hate the face, love the FaceTime.
What?
I'm sorry, dude. I gotta go.
But...
Here, download this app. We can't waste time. Everybody in the whole world walks into a room and they'll stay there for a week. Bleak. They emerge just for groceries or to drive around in their cars. New and antique. Sleek. It's tough to be a theater person now. I know my ham fam all agrees. I wanna meet up with my friends and laugh and sing. And it's been 3 weeks since we started social distance. So we'll have to do the next best thing. You gotta be in the Zoom where it happens. The Zoom where it happens. The Zoom where it happens. You gotta be in the Zoom where it happens. The Zoom where it happens. The Zoom where it happens. Looks so complicated, but this thing is a breeze. Close some open windows or your picture might freeze. Like a chat room where it happens. For now I'll meet you in the Zoom where it happens. Meanwhile, everyone is grappling with the fact that changing your background often makes the picture gritty. Meanwhile, everyone is learning that they need to mute their microphone.
Not toilet paper.
It isn't pretty. Look, I know you want to hang, but don't be grouchy. Just listen to the words of Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Americans should be prepared that they're going to have to hunker down and be significantly more.
I don't know.
But he's my bro.
I suppose.
Didn't you want to work a little closer to home?
Actually, I did.
Say, do you like this dance?
Well, I can't see your feet.
That's because I'm not wearing any pants.
I see.
No.
What else is in the Zoom where it happens?
The Zoom where it happens. The Zoom where it happens. No one else is in the Zoom where it happens. The Zoom where it happens. The Zoom where it happens.
My God.
Say what you like, but we'll never really know till you unmute your mic. Click boom, then it happens.
I've got to be. In the Zoom where it happens. I just thought that was so clever and fun. And I hope you guys take the opportunity to go to offstageonair.com and click on the links and watch the videos that go with these things, because they're really very, very special. And I'm so proud of the theater community nationwide and around the world that are finding different creative ways to exercise their theater making creativity chops and then sharing it with the rest of us, because that's what theater is all about. It's about sharing with each other. And when we can't do it on stage and we don't have that magic of a live audience with people live on stage and that thing that you just can't replicate, I'm going to say that this is the next best thing. So I am really, really proud of all of us that are doing these things. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, but we need to take a little break coming up. So we're going to go to a piece of music that I thought that you guys would like to hear. And it is Oba Batunde and Jennifer Holliday singing I Miss You, Old Friend from Dreamgirls. And I just thought that was apropos because I've been missing you guys. So here they are. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Sheps. We stream this live at koop.org. All right, well, there's just a couple of things that I want to talk about nationally, and then we'll switch over to what's happening in our little town right here. The first thing I want to talk about is Broadway Cares Equity Fight AIDS, which is going to have a fundraiser that was scheduled to be tonight. This is a re-show of 25th anniversary of Disney on Broadway, and they were looking for concessions from the union so that all the money could go directly to the charity. And, of course, the actors' unions all did it. But you know who held out and said no was AFMM, the American Federation of Musicians. They said no, that they wouldn't give the money. They wouldn't allow their union members to work without salary so that the money could go to the charity. And despite the fact that all the musicians that were involved signed a petition asking to please let out their responsibilities, so they wanted to give their money. But the national AFMM said no, and they had to cancel the performance. And I'd just like to say, shame on AFMM for doing that. I think that we all need to do all of our part to give to charities that need help at this time and at all times. So shame on them. So there's also a lot of other things that have happened that I've been watching on the internet. I saw Joseph in the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat that Andrew Lloyd Webber is releasing most of his things that he filmed in the past. Now, I'm one of the few people in the world that really love Joseph. I love the show. And I will say that this particular piece ain't so good. It's with Donny Osmond, but I do love the show, and that was worth talking about. Also, on Sunday night, Easter Sunday, NBC re-aired Jesus Christ Superstar, and I watched a good part of that, and I just really, really loved that performance. So I think I'm going to stop talking about national news right now and switch to a little local stuff that's going on right at this very moment. We have been doing a lot of work here in Austin online. So many of the theaters have been doing online readings and shows, and some of the people that have been, one of the theaters that's really, really prolific in that is the Vortex. Vortex is probably, they've got three or four things a week. And I know Melissa Vogt over there at the Vortex has been working her little hiney off getting those things going. So that's something to look at and appreciate. Also, Now Playing Austin, which is a place where I get a lot of my information about when I want to look and see what's going on locally. I check out Now Playing Austin. That's a website run by the Austin Creative Alliance. Now Playing Austin has a new section on streaming offerings. So you could check Now Playing Austin to see what they have streaming. So that's something else to look at. And I will say this, that Austin Creative Alliance has done a really good job of stepping up during this corona crisis. And they have a fund that is helping artists in this time. And that fund is called the Artist Emergency Relief Fund. And they've been doing a really good job. John Reedy, right when this thing started this thing up. So he's very proactive. And this is a way that artists can apply for up to $500 to replace verifiable lost income due to the cancellation of specific scheduled gig or opportunities. And you can get more information on that on the Austin Creative Alliance website, which is austincreativealliance.org. That's something really worthwhile that they've done, and I salute Austin Creative Alliance for doing that really, really important work. There is one thing that I pulled off of Now Playing Austin today, which is Self-Portraits 2.5. It's presented by Bottle Alley Theater Company. It's an online virtual space where, let me just read this to you guys. Bottle Alley Theater Company presents Self-Portraits 2.5 Quarantine Edition. Though this quarantine may be keeping us apart physically, we refuse to let it keep us apart artistically. Completely digital, same amount of chaos. Self-Portraits is an exercise in controlled chaos and self-expression. and honesty. So much honesty. Oftentimes, an uncomfortable amount of honesty. So these are artists that are doing solo presentations to help also in this crisis. There is I believe a small fee, but it's going towards the Austin Creative Alliance's Emergency Relief Fund. So that's actually something pretty cool to look at as well. And one other thing that's been happening because of this, and this is actually something that should have happened ages ago, as I think we all know, is that we've started to talk to one another. And I think that's one of the most important things that we need to do as a theater community. We started to talk to one another. There's a couple of several groups that are meeting via Zoom, but I want to just point out one that was organized by Ann Chicalella of Austin Shakespeare that is tentatively called #ATXTheater. And it is a group of, right now it's some 50 strong theater companies, and we're always looking to add more. This is a group that's come together to work together to try to make Austin understand that there is a vibrant and incredible theater community out there that's doing really good work in some of the smaller theaters and the smaller theater companies. Austin has over 100 theater companies. And of course, we all know that we are lacking in theater venues, but we do have a lot of theater companies. So this group is getting together to talk about not only how we can survive this crisis, that's one small part of what we're talking about, but really what we're talking about is a long-term awareness campaign to make sure that the city of Austin, outside the confines of the people probably listening to this radio show, but the citizens of Austin understand that there's a vibrant and energetic and talented theater community out there doing really incredible work, doing groundbreaking work, new work, and also bringing life to classical pieces and bringing life to contemporary pre-written pieces and doing experimental pieces. So we want the city of Austin to know that theater exists in this city, and therefore we are getting together to talk about how we can make that happen. And I think a lot of the credit goes to this crisis that's making us actually talk to one another. So that's very good. And after the last meeting, I sat down with a group of three theater makers here just to talk about what's happening with their particular theaters. And those people were Judy Modish Campbell of Pollyanna Theater Company, Bob Tolero of St. Edward's University, and Lindsay Polinsky of The Baron's Man. So let's listen to that conversation now. As part of this whole Corona-y stuff, we're all doing things from home, and Offstage and On the Air is no exception. And I have here just a small group of folks here from the theater community. I have Robert Tolero, who is the artistic director over at St. Ed's University right now. Hi, Rob. Bob.
Hello, Lisa.
I have Judy Modish Campbell, who is the artistic director over at Pollyanna. How are you?
I am great, and thank you for doing this.
Of course, and Lindsay Polinsky, who is on the board, chair of the board of the Baron's Men.
I used to be the president, now I'm just on the board.
It's nice to be president. So, well, this is the first time that Offstage and On the Air is back on the air for 3 weeks, which is pretty incredible. And I know we've all had our shutdowns and the things that we're dealing with our own individual companies. Tell me how your companies are doing and what you're doing and what you think is going to happen. Let's start with Bob.
Well, we were in the middle of Pippin. We had we were completely done with the music rehearsals. We were 2.5 weeks, maybe 3 into it when this all hit. We had a big convocation of the entire company and told them what might happen. And then we thought we were going to get 2 more days of rehearsal, but then the university shut down. So there wasn't even a goodbye to everyone. It was basically go and we'll let you know. So since then, we've been, it's the seniors that we were most concerned about. They're missing their graduation. They're missing their final performance. So from the student point of view, we've been kind of hugging them best we can from afar. And we're going to try, and we don't know if we'll be successful, to do a Zoom performance of one of the songs where we bring the entire cast together to do one of the Hamilton kind of concert things. But we're still working on the technology of that, and plus now our students are scattered to the hinterlands, so we don't know if that will be successful, but we'd love to just kind of unify them, even if it's opening night that we weren't going to have, which I think is April 16th. So we may be aiming to do something like that, not for the public, but probably just for ourselves.
And do you think, is there a summer program in the works for?
No, there isn't. That may be a blessing because it would have probably gotten canceled anyway. We are debating whether or not to bring Pippin back as the first show of next season and invite the seniors who want to come even after graduation to be in the show.
I'm going to vote for yes. And then I have a question about your production of Pippin. Which ending were y'all using? The new one or the old one?
The new one, because there's something, I know, I'm with you. There's something about the rights now that you have to do the new version.
Well, no, the last I read, Schwartz prefers that you use the new version, but you don't have to.
Yeah, that's kind of Michelle. Michelle is directing that one, so I'm not sure where she's. We didn't get that far, so I don't even know.
Okay, well, my vote is to get rid of the new ending. Let's do the old ending.
Yeah, I know it's a weird ending anyway.
So, and Lindsay, what's going on with the Baron's Men?
The Baron's Men, we would have had a performance tonight of The Merry Wives of Windsor. That was our April show. But we were partway, I think as with St. Ed's, we were partway through rehearsals for our show when all of this kind of started hitting the fan. And we really tried to prioritize cast and crew safety first. And then when it became clear that large groups weren't happening, we were like, okay, well, can we postpone? Can we shift it? Can we move it? And some of our cast and crew had some technological limitations. And then with working from home, their home lives shifted. And so we ended up just fully canceling Merry Wives of Windsor. There is currently no plan to do it next spring or do it in July or what have you. Us being an outdoor theater, we're also kind of prey to the elements. We've tried a couple of June and July performances. It's not a thing we'll do again. We want to appreciate everything that our cast and crew of Merry Wives put into the show, but it was just not something that we could see letting be nebulous in that way. We needed to make a concrete decision. So, and then the director was like, I may not be available in the spring. And so we didn't want to take his show away from him either. So a decision was reached with the director with some input of board members and cast members and crew members to just cancel. We also had our annual jousting tournament scheduled for April 24th through 26th, and that has been currently postponed to October during our run of The Tempest, which hopefully can go on as planned. We'll obviously take it day by day. No plans for that have really gone into effect yet, other than so far we're still having it. We'll see what that may look like when it comes time for auditions in July.
I have to tell you, Lindsay, that I am available for Trinculo.
Okay. Well, I'm the director.
Good. Sold.
So we're just, we're a volunteer board, and we're just trying to stay a step ahead of the game, which you can't. Like, you can't anticipate anything, and we're trying to be patient with ourselves and with each other and understand that things are just wild right now. I mean, fortunately, we don't have an entire student body to answer to. We don't have stockholders, shareholders, like some larger organizations in our community. We're actually very lucky to be Austin's best kept secret and to be a small organization. But it was really disappointing. Hopefully, obviously the Austin Theater community and the larger community deserves to see the great work that we're doing. And these actors and crew members will get to play with us again. The show will go on somehow with all of theater in town. I think none of us know what that looks like right now.
No, we don't. But you're right. The show must and will go on. And that's one of the beauties of our industry. So Judy Modish Campbell, Pollyanna, so you do a lot of work with kids in schools, which are also
correct.
Shut down. So what?
Correct.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, first of all, I think this is an amazing conversation because you have really kind of captured where we are for all of the amazing breadth of theater in Austin. We have such a rich academic history of training of San Eds. We've got a rich professional adult theater that you've captured here in this conversation, and we've got a very rich community that serve young people, which is kind of where we fit into this conversation with Pollyanna, because you know everything we do is a new play, and our primary audience is as young as 2 and as old as 102. So, you know, and everything in between. So we were in the midst of getting ready to open one of our preschool performances, our interactive play and play series that we do over at the Carver Cultural Center Dance Studio. The name of that was The Ants Go Marching, and they were supposed to start marching on March the 27th. And so, you know, they're just kind of marching in place right now while we wait to see when we can reschedule and get our 2 to 5 year olds back into the dance studio to be that audience. So we will just remain on kind of on hold until we know we can have a date when it's safe to bring, you know, 50 preschoolers all together in a venue. Then our next step was we were going to be touring that into some schools and working with pre-K students. And so that will have to be postponed until we can get back into a school. So everything that we do is really, we have 2 very separate different audiences, one being the schools. So we're kind of on hold until we know what happens with school groups, and the other are public family matinee audiences that we serve on weekends. And that's a very different group. But all of those, whether they're parents that are desperately trying to work from home and have homeschooling on their hands for the first time, or teachers who are desperately trying to figure out how to navigate the virtual world, Pollyanna is working hard to try to provide a creative way for parents and teachers to include the arts in their home, in their home classroom. And so we really look at ourselves as partners in the community. We would love to work with other theater companies who have footage of their shows that we could help them create tools for parents. And for teachers, they need them. And we're the experts at how to do that. You're the experts at how to create great theater pieces for all ages, Lindsay, Robert. We're the folks that can help you turn that into learning material that engages and reaches grade level learning objectives. So this is when we all need to be coming together to be that resource for families and for teachers. We have the know-how and they need what we have to give them. And, you know, we want to be a resource. I think that's what we can do while we wait. We were supposed to be starting rehearsals in a couple of weeks for our summer main stage show, a new original play by the name of Luna by Nicholas Crea. And that was going to be at the Long Center's Rollins Studio Theater. And so we're waiting to see when we can get back in there.
So we all seem to be on a holding pattern. Judy, where can people go to get information if they want to connect with you on how they can help?
You can always reach us through our website, pollyannatheatercompany.org. There's or you can email polytheater@gmail.com. .com, and awesome. We will be happy to get back in touch with you, whether
Great.
You're a parent looking for information, a teacher looking for tools, or a theater company that is interested in doing this kind of work.
Wonderful. Lindsay, I didn't ask where can folks get information about the Barons Men?
Oh, yeah, so we are just at thebaronsmen.org. Our best email address is info@thebaronsmen.org. Judy, I have already made a note to reach out to you because we have tons of footage and Shakespeare doesn't have any rights. So, if you want to reach out to us with any questions about what we're doing, info@thebaronsmen.org. It goes to me and a few other board members.
Great.
So.
Bob, you have a website?
Oh, just Google Mary Moody Northern Theater and you'll find all kinds of good goodies.
Here's where I want to leave us with, and I know the answer, but I've been having a lot of discussions with people. So Ground Floor Theater and other theaters around Austin are switching over to online offerings. We're doing readings, some people are doing other things, and I argue that there is nothing that can replace the relationship between a live audience and actors on stage. What do y'all feel about that?
I mean, it's why we do theater, is that relationship. As an actor, my very favorite thing to do is to break the fourth wall. I came from dance and I moved into acting. I also still dance, but I love being on a real stage with a real audience. I've done some film work and it's just not the same. I think that, you know, we have a really unique opportunity to give some offerings when we have limited seats in our digital theater, but it isn't the same. You know, with some of my Barons friends, we read plays every weekend and it's fun, you know, to have a Zoom meeting with a dozen people reading Much Ado About Nothing or something. That it's super fun because we love it and we're nerds. But it's not the same as getting to, like, touch another actor and play off of them and feel someone in your space and share breath. You know, that's why we do what we do, is to have that relationship both with the audience and with our comrades.
Great. Judy or Bob?
Well, for me, I told my Curious Incident cast, and I tell all these casts, especially with a comedy or any play has comedy aspects, the last character in the play doesn't show up until opening night. So if that,
I love that.
Yeah. So if that character doesn't show up, then we're not complete. Our show's not complete without them. It was interesting when they had thoughts of having the basketball tournaments without anyone in the stands. I thought that was the most surreal idea I could have ever imagined, for the same reason. It's not complete without that last character showing up without rehearsal, and they show up at your show.
It's funny, Bob, that you should say that, because I had to have kind of an aha moment around that, because I am not a sports person. And when they said that, I went, yeah, do it without the... What do you need them for? And then I started to think about it and how different that would be for the players and what a different game it would be for the audience to be watching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Judy, you have any wise words around that?
Well, I don't know if they're wise or not, but I do think that we as humans are hardwired to be in community. I think that we see that in children every day when we're working with them, when they literally reach out to each other and want to play together. And I think that we don't ever really outgrow that. And sometimes we just have to be reminded of that. And I think that that's what's happening right now in society, is people are being reminded that they want to be together. And so it's up to us to make sure that we keep a healthy theater environment that they can come back to as soon as they can. Because I think there are people that are going to want to.
I wonder if we'll be handing out masks to the audience as they show up for our first performances, just from the paranoia factor. Because I know this isn't going to be like turn off the switch kind of thing. It's going to be gradual, but I'm curious what the feeling, you know, it's a strange attitude. You know what I'm saying, Lisa?
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see us come back, and it's certainly not going to As the person who's currently playing the role of president says, we're just not going to bounce back. It's going to take some time to get back.
And I think we're going to be wearing masks for a long time, but people in the theater have worn masks for centuries.
That's true.
And so, I think that we need to capitalize on what we do best. And maybe we all have a mask on in our first time back.
Maybe. I hope you're wrong about the mask thing, but that's just me.
Well, it couldn't hurt. You know, the Barron's Men, we have a box that we've been lugging around for years that's full of those plastic trash bag ponchos. We ordered like a gross of them online one time, and we have them. Yeah. You know, I mean.
There you go.
It's kind of a similar thing, you know.
Well, that was wonderful. Thank you guys so much for helping Offstage and On Air make our way back in our the little way that we can. So I would like
to. You do so much for our community. It's the least we could do to help.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I would like to. Oh, go ahead, Robert. Bob.
Agree. I was agreeing with the ladies who know.
How sweet are you? Well, Robert Calero of St. Edward's University and director extraordinaire. All three of you are directors extraordinaire. Judy Modish Campbell of Pollyanna Theater Company and Lindsay Polinsky of the Barron's Men. Thank you so, so very much.
No, thank you, Lisa.
Mwah.
Well, that's it for this week. We will be back next week when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air. I'm going to leave you guys with a little piece that I discovered today, and this is by Kristen Chenoweth and composer Andrew Lippa. And this is from their new show, Tiger King the Musical. We'll see you next week, folks. Bye.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol.